As we turn our attention to God's Word this evening, if you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin our study tonight. We're going to look at an event that took place in the time period in the very beginnings of the Lord's church after he had ascended into heaven, and then he had called the Apostle Paul to be minister or the apostle to the Gentiles. So we're in a short time frame from when the Lord ascended back to heaven, and when this took place, and this is probably a very familiar passage to you, it'll be a familiar story. But I wanted to look at this evening, along with a few other passages, to look at how we react to circumstances in our life. I don't know, but I've never had a day where everything was just nothing. There was nothing going on. There was no circumstance in my life that was making me feel. Typically you either have good circumstances that you're happy with, or bad circumstances you're not so happy with, but you very rarely have circumstances that are in the middle where you're really not, you don't care either way. This is the way our life is. We go through times of hard times. We go through good times. Those times, they're hardly ever stagnant. There's never any movement in this life until we actually leave this life. But here tonight, we're going to talk about how we act or react to the circumstances in our life, both good and bad. Or I should say, adverse or encouraging circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16, we're going to learn this story, read about this story that happened, this event that took place. And we're starting in 16 to get some of the history here, or the context of what's going on here. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So this young girl was possessed by a demon and gave her the ability to do some things like soothsaying or telling the future, so to speak. Now, granted, a demon does not know the future, but they are able to guess at some things and make people think that they are telling the truth about the future. That's what soothsaying is. It'd be someone like a palm reader or a tarot card reader today, that someone who would try to divine or decide or explain what the future holds for someone. And as you know today, this is a very, even in today's society, in today's world, this is a very lucrative business. It makes lots of money. There are a lot of people who make money through this type of business. But this young girl was possessed by a demon. The same followed Paul and us, verse 17, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Notice, what did she say? "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." All true. It's very true about Paul and those that were with him. They were servants of the Most High God, and they were preaching salvation. But you see, Paul was grieved with this young girl because this demon was using her to mock the servants of God. You know what Satan does? He mocks us. Satan and his demons, they mock us. They love it when we want to know more about them because they are evil, and they want to destroy us. because they want to hurt God, and that is the only way they can do it. But this young girl, although her message was true, the one saying it was not the right way for that message to be told. So Paul turned and cast out this spirit, this demon, out of this young girl. In verse 19, it goes on, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So here we see what happened. Paul turned and actually helped this young lady, because you see, she was possessed by a demon. She was indwelt by a spirit of the devil, and she was not in her right mind. And Paul turned and commanded the spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus Christ, and the spirit left her. But her people who were gaining from her, or she was bringing them great profit, said they were pretty angry about this. So they caught Paul and Silas, and they took them to the judge, into the court, so to speak. And they said, "These men are Jews and are teaching things that we as Romans shouldn't do." And so they were in an uproar about Paul and Silas, and they beat them. They beat them severely. This was not a spanking. This was a stripes. When they talked about stripes in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, many times this was done with the cat of nine tails, which was a Roman concoction that they had made up, and it was not a series of nine straps, leather straps, that would have something embedded in them that would rip the skin or rip the flesh off the body. So this was what they used on Paul and Silas. Would you say this might be a low point for Paul and Silas? Would this be a situation that they'd be saying, "Oh, great, yeah, we thought this was going to happen. We're real happy about this. This is where we wanted to end up today." Do you think that's what they were thinking when they were being beaten with that whip and being cast into prison, all for doing something that was good for a young lady? No, they probably were not. This was probably not what they woke up that morning and said, "You know what? By midnight, I want to be in prison with my back bleeding." They probably didn't say that. See, sometimes things happen in our life that we don't plan on, that we don't think, "That's not how I had it planned out, Lord. Lord, that's not where I had it planned. That's not what I thought we were going to do. What happened?" Right? Sometimes things don't go quite the way we planned them. But I want you to understand something here. Verse 25 is a great testimony to the spiritual fortitude of Paul and Silas. And I think we should take lesson from this in how we react when things aren't the way we thought they were going to be, when things are not necessarily great in our eyes. Listen to what Paul and Silas did. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You notice something here? You know, it's really easy for us to come here and sing praises and pray to God, right? This is our comfort zone. It seems like it might not be so easy all the time, but it's pretty easy compared to this. What we have trouble with more than when we come here is when we're out there and things aren't going right. And it's harder then to sing praises and pray to God. But I want you to notice something about Paul and Silas. It says here the prisoners heard them. The prisoners were probably in a situation that they didn't want to be in either. They were probably not where they had planned to be. And yet they hear Paul and Silas over there singing and praying. You think that got their attention? You think they noticed that? You think they might have wanted to know why they could do that in such dreadful circumstances? In such a terrible place? These prisons were not like our prisons, not like our penitentiaries where you have cable TV in every room and you got all the weightlifting equipment, all the exercise equipment you'd like, and you have books all over the place, and you have air conditioning, and if you're down south, and all these things. This was not that type of prison. This is the prison you see in the movies that you talk about where things were just dark, and it was more like a dungeon where people were just thrown in there together and locked down, probably not given much food either. But Paul and Silas, even in this situation, at midnight, prayed to God and sang praises, and everybody else heard them. So when you have adverse situations, when you have problems in your life that you didn't plan on, understand something, that God can use that to witness to people around you. God can use that to witness to people around you. And God can also use it to try or test us and help us to grow in His grace and His knowledge, grow in our faith. You see, when everything's going great, it's kind of easy for us to have faith in God, right? It's easier for me to say, yeah, God's going to take care of me while I've got this job and I'm getting a paycheck sometime in the future, or at least I think I am. I hope I am. It's easier for me to thank God and praise Him, say, thank you, Lord. It's easier. But it's when I lose that job or something else comes along that affects my life in that type of way. That's when God wants to hear us praise Him. That's when God is looking for us to sing praises to Him, because He is pleased, especially when we do that. Verse 26, see the reaction in this from God Himself. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this because we're running short on time, but through this, they were freed from the prison by God through an earthquake, and they were able to witness to this jailer who was actually their captor, the one who had thrown them in the inner part of this prison. They were able to witness to him about the Lord, and actually if you go on and read the rest of that, that man was saved and many of his house were saved because of this. And all this started with Paul and Silas being whipped, beaten with many stripes on his back. Philippians, you don't have to turn here. I'm going to read this, but if you would, please turn to Revelation chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle Paul, says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Back in 11, I should have read this. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had learned something. He learned that he knew he could both be abased and he could abound. He could have little or he could have many, much, and he could still be content. not because of the little or the much, but because he had the Lord. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe that this is a promise that we can accept and we can hold to, that as the Apostle Paul could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him, we also can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But you see, the key is to depend upon him and not ourselves for that strength. He is the strong one, I am not. But through him, I can do everything that he wants me to do. Everything that he's called me to do, I can do. Whether I have little or I have much, I should be content with what I have. Because God has blessed me regardless of whether I realize it or not. Paul and Silas were blessed there in the prison and receiving those stripes, because Jesus said, blessed are those who receive persecution for my name's sake. Not those who receive persecution for evil doing, not those who do stuff bad and receive the recompense for it, but for those who are following Jesus, he says we're blessed if we receive persecution for following him. That is a different mindset than the world would have us have. And a different mindset, truthfully, than my flesh has. My flesh has a feeling that my flesh wants things that we like, right? But the Spirit wants to follow the Lord regardless. And through the Spirit of the Lord and through him, I can have strength enough to do those things that I should in him. So I encourage you, regardless of how your situation may be at this particular time in your life, and tomorrow at that particular time in your life and the next day, that you stand not in what your circumstances are, but stand in Christ and his blessings. And the other circumstances will take care of themselves. They are all temporary anyway. Now, the opposite side of this is in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, the Lord is writing letters to seven churches that are in Asia. One of these churches was in Laodicea. Verse 14 starts his message directly to the church at Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, now get this, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here we see the church of Laodicea. They thought they were rich, that they needed nothing. There was nothing that they needed. They had everything. And what was Jesus' opinion of them? You're poor, miserable, wretched, naked. You have nothing. Why? Because they were not serving him the way they should. They were lukewarm. They were not hot or cold. There was no movement in their church because they had become complacent, accepting of we've made it. This is good. We've got everything we need, everything we want. Many times, when we are blessed, when we feel like everything is going great for us, that's when our flesh tends to feel like I don't need to do anything because I've got it all good. Everything must be fine because everything's going good right now. I've got everything I need. Jesus shared the story of a rich man in Luke chapter 12. Verses 16 through 31. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here we see a rich man who looked at what he had gotten in his harvest, and he said, I have plenty. What am I going to do with all this? I know what I'll do. I'll build barns. I'll tear down my barns, smaller barns, and build bigger barns so I can put it up and I can hold it, and then I'll sit down and say, Soul, take thy ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God looked on him and said, Thou fool, today your soul will be required of you. Whose then will these things be? What is all this going to do for you then, a rich man? This man took for granted what he had, and he lost it all that night. We need to be careful when we have good times, when we're going through the things where we have great things, we have everything, everything's going the way we like it, the way we wanted it, the way we thought it might happen. We need to be very careful that we don't take those things for granted, because they can quickly be gone. Ask Job. Job was faithful to the Lord. Job had everything. Job was probably one of the richest and most powerful men of his day in the world. He had a great, large family. And within the span of one day, he lost it all. He lost his family. He lost all his wealth. So we see Job. He had the good things. He had the good times, and he had the not so good times. And yet through it all, he was faithful to the Lord, and he was able to say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then the Lord blessed him for that beyond what he had before. So what I'm trying to say is, regardless of whether you're up here, you're having everything you think you should have had and everything you think you deserve, or you're down here and you're wondering why all this is happening in my life, the important thing is that we keep our eyes on the Lord, like Paul and Silas did in the jail, like Job did when he had all his riches. He had the power, he had everything a person could want, and yet he was still faithful. God called him righteous. He was still right with God, even though he had everything. Then he lost everything, and in that, he also remained faithful to the Lord. He maintained his character. You know what being a Christian is about? It's about having character. And character is not something that changes from day to day. It doesn't change tomorrow. Character is something that should be consistent in my life. If someone sees me today, my character should be the same as it was yesterday, and tomorrow it should be the same. But listen, it should be the same in that I'm living for Jesus. That's character. That's true character. Regardless of whether I've stubbed my toe or whether I've ran into the back of somebody in a vehicle, or whether I lose everything that I have in this life. Jesus said, look to the kingdom of God, not to the things of this world. If I lose everything I have tomorrow, that song that we sang tonight, it is well with my soul. The guy's name is, I think it's Spafford that wrote that. And I've told you this story before, but I'll tell you again. He lost his children, and then he wrote that song. His children and his wife were headed over to, I believe it was over to England ahead of him. And he received a telegram that said, all lost but one, from his wife. He had lost all his children, his young children, at sea. They had been drowned and they in a shipwreck. And yet after that, he was able to write, it is well with my soul. You see, I don't know the man. I never knew the man. I don't know everything about him, but I know one thing. To write that type of song in such a situation in his life takes a lot of character. You see, that's the type of testimony that we give to people when we are able to sing praises to God, even when things aren't going the way we want them to. And also, when things are going well, and we still praise the Lord. You see, shouldn't change. Praise the Lord here, praise the Lord there. Shouldn't change. Our reactions to our circumstances should be no different. Blessed be the name of the Lord in my life and by my lips. I hope this is a useful message for you. I hope this will help you through those times when maybe things aren't going quite the way you want them to or the way you thought they would. Understand that regardless of those situations and circumstances in our life, good or bad, we need to be consistently serving the Lord, singing praises to Him like Paul and Silas did in the prison that night at midnight. And also, I know this from Paul's testimony through the rest of the writings that I see, he was consistently that way. Remember, he said, whether I've got everything or I've got nothing, I can still be content because I've got the Lord. That's how we should look at life. Regardless of what goes on around us, if we've got the Lord, we can be content, happy, joyful with what we've got.